CliffCentral.com.
Yes, sir. It is Monday morning, CliffCentral.com. We are live. Mbulelo and Leanne and I are here to hopefully give you some useful info or make you laugh or make you think or make you think we're stupid. We do that quite often too, don't we, Mbulelo? We are very equal opportunity offenders.
Very, very mediocre upstairs. Very little grey matter going on with me. I want to be honest.
Right. The same thing goes for me. And I'm kind of okay with that.
Very little pressure.
Yeah, it's no pressure. Hey, listen, if you accept that from the get-go, then you're good. So, listen, a couple of emails and things I want to go through this morning. Here's Leanne Moll. So a couple of things. I want to hear your reaction and your thoughts on these things. First of all, this one is interesting because it's just come through now. Today in Norway is apparently the sun's coming back day. So Koko, who lives in Norway, says the 21st of January 2022, so it's a couple of days ago, not today, Tromsø, north of Norway, they celebrate something called Return of the Sun. The sun usually disappears for 2 months in winter. Yes.
Oh, I couldn't handle that, eh?
So well done. Mm-hmm. Let's give all the people who are listening to us in Norway a round of applause because the sun has finally come back into their lives for a little bit. And if you want proof of that, you just have to go and look it up because Koko even attached a link where it shows you the time and date of the sun and when it disappears in northern Norway. So also about Bulelo's shoes-off rule, the climate over here is the main reason. We have snow for 4 to 5 months. That means wet shoes and snow salt, which turns muddy and slushy. Otherwise, we let visitors keep their shoes on when hosting in the warmer season. So some very sensible thoughts there from Koko. Thank you very much for your email. I got this while we're talking about overseas. This is about Australia from Michael Smith. He says, I've been living here since 1980, and the transformation from when I was a boy until now is staggering. So he goes on. I agree totally that the individual can do a far better job of keeping themselves safe instead of relying on politicians and governments. In my opinion, the reason for this is deliberate and scary in Australia. For the citizens of such a nation, back in 1948, not long after the Russians helped to defeat the Germans in World War II, the Aussie government sought advice from the new heroes in Moscow, and the new nation's spy agency was born. For a more detailed account of this, refer to the non-fiction book ASIO, A-S-I-O, The Enemy Within. What has spawned, in my opinion, is a KGB-type situation, which is allowed to operate under the pall of a democracy. So it's very underhanded, but I believe this is the third most mind-controlled nation on the planet after North Korea and China. The propaganda here in Australia is something else. This is from someone who lives there. This is not.
Wow.
Says the news bulletins remind me of play school, where the viewer is spoken to like a preschooler. Wives have been trained to be the decision maker within the families simply because they spend more and they prop up the floundering economy by doing so. Sport is used to distract the men who don't really have a role anymore apart from sperm donation. I nearly fell over the other day when I was told by a big burly truck driver in his mid-20s that he wasn't at work because his wife had beaten him up. Welcome to a new Australia. Quite a shame because, as you alluded to in the 80s, this place had lots of cred. Now it's a basket case. Thanks for keeping me sane with your podcast. Regard, Michael. So, I mean, I don't know how much of that is true in every way, but I have no reason to doubt Michael. And he says, you know, I made a comment like 2 weeks ago that Australia just seems to have gone from this tough, pioneering country where people were, you know, they were really strong, tough people to being like this weak, milksop sort of place where the government kind of feeds you off a bottle. Anyway, that's Michael's point of view. So some interesting comments. Anything you want to say about Norway and Australia, Mbulelo?
So my dad lived in Finland when I was younger, and he wondered why I didn't want to come and visit in the December holidays. That is one of the reasons. I used to have to make up a new excuse every single year, you know what I mean? And he was there for a good run, like 6.5 years. So it wasn't just like.
And he wondered why you didn't want to. He didn't click that maybe you didn't want to come because there was no sun at all.
Like, Dad, do you not remember the sun in Africa?
Oh, my God. Wow.
So, I didn't know they celebrated that whole vibe. I've never been to Norway. So that's crazy. Imagine, doesn't that sound archaic? Like,
you have to celebrate the return of the sun.
Odin's love is upon us, you know, as they sacrifice a virgin or whatever still in Norway.
He has not forgotten us. The sun is back. It has returned. It has not gone away forever.
And Australia, I think, look, let's look over the next 5 years. Again, you know, Gareth, you always make a great point about all of us getting emotional about where they live.
Yeah.
Let's see over the next 5 years, because Michael's evidence is anecdotal.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Are people going to be leaving Australia or moving to Australia? And once we get the emotions out of the way, because right now we're in it, we're in the thick of it, we're taking the grenades in the trenches.
Right.
I'd like to know, in 5 years, are people going to be leaving Australia or moving to Australia?
Yeah.
And no matter what you say, that tells you whether it's a great place to live. Right now, all the evidence suggests people are moving to Australia and not away. So nowhere is perfect. You know, like you got to pay a price to have no potholes. Sorry.
Absolutely.
And some of it is some, like, the government's hand around your throat. Unfortunately, we don't have any better ideas right now.
Mm.
So, Michael, while I feel you left Australia for a reason, pal.
No, he's in.
I mean, you left South Africa for a reason.
He's in Australia. All right. So, Leanne, any comments from you? You've also got family in Australia.
Yeah. And it just makes me think, you know, the family that we have in Australia are often very quick to point at us for staying here and point out the problems in South Africa.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to gain a clearer picture now of, you know, how oppressed they really are. And if what this guy was saying is true about the media being,
but it's voluntary. Huh? It's voluntary. This is not like Australians have opted in for a functional working state.
But it's almost like brainwashing. Well, they're not realizing that this is happening.
But things work, and they're prepared to sacrifice a little bit of one for the other. Maybe that's the trade.
Yeah.
You know.
And then further to that point, I don't know of anybody who wants to move to Australia right now. I honestly don't. If anything, I know people who want to move to Europe, but not to Australia.
Hmm. Yeah, I wonder, we'll have to see, as Bulelo says, that the proof will be in the pudding, right? So we'll see over the next 10 to 20 years what kind of population dynamics kick in there. Anyway, interesting. So then I got two emails from two of our disabled listeners. It turns out I've created a bit of a ruckus here among our disabled listeners. Now, I didn't even know this was a thing. But first of all, I'm going to read from Nicolene, who you know is one of the representatives for Headway, which is one of the charities I help. And Nicolene's been on the show many times. She's got a brain injury. She says, I trust you're well and have a happy and healthy new year. So I knew I was in trouble just from that.
Oh, dear.
It's very businesslike. She says, it has been such a long time since we had contact. I was super sad to find out that I'm no longer the only disabled person on the show, and that you now have some paraplegic that you get on the show. She goes, Gareth, we have come such a long way. Headway is our communal special interest, and I'd like to believe that you and I have some kind of bond. I still battle brain injury daily and just celebrated my 13th year since my accident this past Saturday. She then repeats that line, which proves she does have the brain injury, but she says, I've grown incredibly. I used to tell people I was your disabled person. Please do not strip me of this title, says Nicolene. Anyway, I hope to hear from you soon. I know you're busy. Take care, Nicolene. And then she attaches.
It's true. We haven't heard from her in ages.
All right. So we'll get her on. But my God, I didn't realize I couldn't have another disabled person on the show. Only just one. So then.
It's like the I'm the only gay in the village from Little Britain.
Right.
Oh, Duffid.
Duffid.
Yes. Duffid is the only gay in the village.
So Tracy then sent me an email. Tracy lives in Cape Town, and she's also battled her own illnesses and difficulties. And she's also, you know, slightly I think she's got it's some kind of intellectual disability or something, but she's not, I mean, she's perfectly functional and all the rest, but she's competing now with Nicolene, right? So she says, and this is about a story I told that I barely made it through Tuesday's show because I had some stomach bug. And I said, I'm just lucky that I didn't shit myself during the show. So she says, once I had a crisis in a public place and I needed assistance. After phoning a few people who were all unable to come and fetch me, I called someone I knew lived close by. He arrived, and without judgment and with so much kindness, he helped me out of the situation and drove me home with dignity. He is also a rock and roll drummer for a successful South African band, which means that people are usually surprised when they hear how human he is. We're still friends, and I'd like to still be a listener, even if you do shit yourself in the middle of your show. Don't be humiliated, please. Those who matter don't mind, as Dr. Seuss says correctly. So Tracy and Nicolene, we've got to, first of all, thank you, ladies. You are always welcome on the show, but let's not jostle for position of who's the most disabled. You know, we have people with profound problems, and you two are quite normal, in inverted commas, by comparison. So stop it, or I'm going to have to find someone who's really, really bad, and we'll have to talk to them for weeks just to remind you of how lucky you are. See, I had to sort that out. And I had to sort that out in public because I'm not replying to them now on email. So there, that's your reply, okay? There, done. Put it away. Jesus.
Good.
Fucking disabled that's people. Awesome. They're so demanding.
I like the first
email.
They
really are, you know?
Yeah, the first one. I thought I was your disabled.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yes. See what I'm dealing with here? You know, the pressure tough. I'm under.
It's tough.
Yeah, all right. So a lot of people commenting here. Cliff Central, have a Royal Rumble for the disabled folk. The winner gets the interview. That could be a nice idea. We've got to check in with Hi Rob. He's moved to Canada, as he told us he would late last year. And then Robin saying the Aussies are liked over invested romance scam victims. The new LGBTQ2 whatever vibes. And their brat children have grown up to be weirdos and running the country like a video game. Well, Robin, you maybe know more than me. I don't know. Marco is also one of our disabled listeners. He says, oh, my goodness. See, now we're going to have to add him to the list because.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God.
To the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, man.
Unbelievable. Lots of people commenting on this idea of the black tax and kind of how there are parents out there who want their children to work for them. And some very, very angry and some very emotional responses too. People who are putting up with this stuff. Yeah. I mean, Michael says when money is involved, family matters become tatters. There are people who are lazy and greedy and take advantage of their own families without remorse. I think that does happen.
Yeah, and it works. I literally don't want to be black and white about the issue, but, in white cultures in Africa, it's kind of the other way around, where children expect to inherit a lot of money when their parents die,
or they expect to live with their parents until well into their 30s, which is ridiculous.
Yes, so it's completely the opposite. But yet, both those issues can become major problems later on in the relationships. You know, they're equally as toxic. Instead of having independent parents and independent children.
That's not true for Mbulelo. He sponged off his parents for a long time, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, I did okay in my early 20s. I sponged off my old duck because my father doesn't put up with that nonsense. Basically, I kind of ran away. So from around 18, my dad cut me off anyway, and that hasn't changed. But yeah, I did sponge off my mom. She paid for 2 extra years of university after I'd wasted all my football money. Yeah. And I always say to her, look here, if I didn't make you pay that extra, I mean, varsity's about what, 300,000 rand a year with everything that comes with rent and food and whatever.
Yeah.
What would she have gotten up for in the morning? You know, you think to yourself, I think if I was like my sister, and you didn't have to pay for school from standard 8, what would you have had to get up for? So,
right. So you made her work. So she had a purpose. She had a purpose.
It's tough for everyone. It's tough for everyone. And we all play our role.
I don't think I don't think I've taken a single cent off my parents since I turned 18. Because they may have paid in advance for my university, but I paid it all back, especially since I didn't finish the course that they thought they were paying for. But from then on, somehow, thank goodness, because I would hate to be in kind of hock to them. I don't think I've taken a cent from them. And I'm kind of proud of that. Neither has my brother or my sister. I think that's good.
Yeah.
You know
that's
what?
Amazing.
Actually,
I mean, that's not,
let me tell
not
you something.
Half of the course.
It is just as bad when a parent expects the kids to pay for everything for them. It's just as bad when the kids expect the parent to leave them a whole lot of money. Yeah, make your own
works
money.
Works both ways.
You know, just because your dad is rich doesn't mean you built anything. Just because your mom is a genius doesn't mean you earned anything.
Yeah.
They earned their own money.
And the truth is this, right? And I'm learning it as I get older. I'm really, really fortunate that both my parents, and I'm in a very unique situation, and it doesn't matter if you're black or white. I'm starting to realize this. where both of my parents are university graduates. Very, very unique. I didn't realize how unique that was. As I talked to people, I'm like, oh, I thought all white people's parents went to varsity.
Oh, no.
But oh, turns out, no, it's not really a firecracker situation like that. But they've been quite responsible with their money. But with the whole, I don't know if black tax is the term. I don't like to use that. It adds a whole another layer, trust me, with the side department of the family. But it is interesting. You have to manage your parents.
Yep.
We're moving into a new time where people just expect this relationship. It's not going to just sort itself out. You have to manage them because they're still people and they still have, you know, their shortcomings. And if you don't deliver on certain things they may have imagined and you don't, you have to communicate. And Dr. Hanan nailed some of the stuff I've gone through with my mother.
Right.
You have to manage these people. Otherwise,
these people. Hey. You do.
Yeah. So they get old. They get bored. Well, they start looking for trouble.
You know, also, the parents do, you know, when very old people, they almost become like children again because they need constant looking after. You need to check with them three times whether they've done something. They forget stuff. They're careless. They get a bit rude. You know, their social niceties disappear. So, yeah, you end up having to manage your parents eventually. But it would be the ideal, the optimal situation is that you don't actually need to take each other's money. That would be the best possible situation. Of course, circumstances may not allow that. There may be very different things. I think the reason that there is a particular imbalance between black and white people in this country is because of history, obviously. And there are many, many more black parents who didn't get the chance to go to university or to do jobs that were that required a skill set that they weren't given by the education system at the time. So obviously,
or to own a house.
Yeah, there's an imbalance.
I mean, how do you, as a person who was brought up in such poverty, go on to be educated, buy your own home, knowing that your parents still don't have a home? It's got to be really difficult.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm not gonna cast any judgment on these people who are dealing with either direction of the problem. Mm. You know, there's obviously easier to deal with the problem that your parents have money and you have to figure out like what you're going to do when you inherit it and whether or not you've earned it and how that makes you feel as an achiever or a non-achiever. That's obviously a much easier problem than the black tax. But
yeah, and I don't know how true this is for you, but you know, I've just, I'm a couple of years ago, I underwent a revolution as a person. You know, I took on a blue energy, if you will, for those who understand the rock culture out there.
All right.
A crystal. Yeah. But you know what's interesting for me, and I don't know if it's happened for you guys yet with your family, is that for me, as within the context of being a black person from rural families, is that I'm kind of now the male figure in my mom and my sister's life. And a couple of years ago, I was kind of avoiding having to play my role. It's still important in my family that a black man takes control. So, because my sister and mom are much smarter than me, they've got far better degrees. They they've been okay. But you still need the man in an African home where I'm from to take some control. Yep. And I cannot tell you the amount of tension it ameliorated immediately once I actually did what I have to do. You know what I mean? Ooh. Once I started directing the ship,
you stepped up.
And I wonder if there's a lot of people avoiding that role, but it's probably a bigger question. Because play your role. You can't just say, oh, my mom's out of hand, screw her, or my dad's out of hand. Play your role. Step into your role. You can't imagine the amount of tension that relieves, or it certainly did for me. Now, I don't know how true that'll be for others.
No, I think it's very true. And if I look at my own context and my own upbringing, you know, we need to be, as women, we need to be the nurturers. So as soon as somebody in the family has really bad news or, you know, is battling along with something, it's my instinct and I know it's my role to phone them up, to see how they are, to go there if necessary, to listen to their story and be a shoulder to cry on and help in any way I can.
Yep.
And if I ignored that, and I did that for a long time while my mom was fulfilling that role, and it was quite a shock when she wasn't able to anymore, and only then we felt how much she had been doing. And that's taking care of the grandparents and, you know, the special needs members of the family. And if, you're completely right, you have to eventually step into that role, whether you like it or not.
Well, Dogoza says, my siblings don't seem to be too motivated to leave my home and be independent. I kind of feel sorry for my mom. Not your home, sorry. Mm. They're staying with, obviously, with Ndogoza's mum. And yeah, that puts undue pressure on you know, your mother. It's unfair. As she gets older, she should have less pressure on her, not more.
1,000%. I told my mom I had to bring the family meeting together. So eventually we had to have a WhatsApp group. Like, I don't know if I told you this, about 2 years ago, I said, the tap is closed, because my mom's so used to just dishing money
dishing out.
Dishing
out to the rest
just,
of the family.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And I said, it's over. The tap is dry and lots of unhappy people. You can only imagine the types of messages I was getting. But
I'll bet.
It's over. You have to manage people. You have to. People are selfish. People do not care about you. They only care about themselves. Manage them.
Well, Robin says, I told my dad that I would look after him. I won't send him to a home.
There have been many times where at the dinner table, my brother has jokingly said to my dad, Dad, just remember, I'm the one who gets to decide where you go to when you become senile. Yeah.
Yes, correct. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's interesting that, you know, there are loads of kids who are growing up now who, as I mentioned earlier, are just living with their parents for far too long, well into their 30s. And that's an arrested development, right? You're just never, ever going to be a serious person if you are still living with your parents or if you're still dependent on them in your late 30s. It's hugely embarrassing, first of all, and you should be embarrassed about it. But also, it is, I mean, of course, if you're of sound mind and body and you don't have any serious ailments, or let's just put that proviso in, because otherwise people are going to say, well, you're very unfair because, you know, I have a serious issue, or I have, some kind of physical disability or whatever. Sure, that makes an exception. But if you are still in your 30s and you're still dependent on someone else in the family for money and for sustenance and for succor, and you can't go out and do it yourself, you're just a parasite. And there's no, I can't say a nice thing about that for you to make you feel better. You should be embarrassed. If you have been looked after your whole life long and you're an adult and you haven't stopped suckling on that teat, you've got a problem, man. And whether you're a guy or a girl, it doesn't make any difference. And don't tell me, oh, but you need to be there to look after that. They don't need you. If they're paying for things, you need them.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. It's hilarious. Especially Oaks I went to school with. I'm like, bro, get out of home. Your parents spent so much money sending you to school to make you into a functional adult. Like, stop now. It's actually disgusting. It gets to a point where it stops being funny. Get out of home. Your parents want to walk around naked in the kitchen, bro. Like it's over. It's over. This thing's over.
Yeah, that's a scary thought.
Yeah. Old people do stuff too. You guys need to get over yourselves.
Right.
Listen,
no, you're right.
You guys got 20 more years and then it's, you know, so you want to, you know, you sometimes you just want to have your fried eggs.
I would
with
love,
your wang hanging out.
I would love to hear, though, apart from the horrible, disturbing mental imagery that Bolelo is giving us to think about this morning, I'd love to hear from someone who is in their late 30s or even older and is still living with their parents in their parents' house where they're still dependent on their parents, and hear what your justification might be. I mean, maybe there's something I'm not seeing, but what on earth could it be? I'm really trying to be understanding from the point of view of how there can be. And listen, this is a big problem for people all over the world. It's not just a South African thing, right? You've got this happening in the United States and in Europe and in Canada and in Brazil and in Australia and all over the place. And I want to know how it works and whether or not you can, because surely there's also that issue of authority and who's actually paying the bills and whose house it is. Because, you know, if my house, my rules. So if someone comes into my house, even if it is a parent, this is to go back to our discussion with Dr. Hanan earlier and with Mpo. If my mother and father, who I do respect and love, but if they come into my house and tell me how to live, I don't think that's going to go well for them. I don't require, you know, I'm not under their authority anymore, and I don't require their money or their input. Their advice is always welcome, but I don't require it. And if you don't get to a point where you outgrow that stuff, you're not really an adult. You're still in thrall, right?
There is no empathizing. I mean, I left for boarding school 13 years old. I've never really been back home, even in the height of my delinquency. I've never lived at home again. From 13, I basically see my... So I can never understand the mentality of not wanting to get out your parents, especially when they give you everything. Mm. Like, I'm sorry, I do grade on a scale there. Yeah. Like, I understand if things are... Or you don't come from a home.
Where there's
but
a
when
of,
you
yeah.
went to schools around the northern suburbs of Johannesburg, sure. for our international listeners, it's where the middle class live, people with stuff... You can give your child a first car. You know what I mean? And you're still 28, 29 living at home, bro.
Yeah.
And you're not paying rent. So there's another special type of person who's still 29, 32 living at home, not paying rent or contributing at home. Like, geez, you are disgusting. I'm sorry. unless you've had like a crushing divorce, like you said, Gareth, you know, sometimes life happens.
Hey, sometimes
I understand you've got to move home for a year to reset.
You've got to go back to, you know, where you come from to figure it out. Yeah. Maybe you lose everything in a bad business deal or, you know, coronavirus has hit your business so hard that you have to. I understand. But
sure.
Here are 2 points I want to quickly get to. First of all, this is from Snaye, and this is such a good point. Snaye says, Gareth, it's sometimes the parent who creates that. My brother, who's never had a job in his life, had a child last year. He's my mom's golden child right now. Why? Yeah, you see? That's the parent who's just, they've never allowed that child to grow up. And that's their fault. That's on them. And Corona's Boring says, my friend recently retired as a professional son. Listen to this. His mom bought him a house and a car 2 years ago, and his gran pays the rates. And he still owes me money.
Oh.
No way.
Well, that is why he owes you money, because he's never really taken responsibility for himself. So you should never lend someone like that money. But a professional son?
That's
know?
Hilarious.
Yeah, I've got a new dream job, hey?
Professional daughter, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm 32 and I only just moved out, says Cape Town S. Multiple factors, but the main reason was I was a lazy, deceptive, self-centered asshole. Basically, I was an EFF candidate. Oh, well, there's some proper self-evaluation going on.
Yeah.
Right?
Well done for getting yourself out that situation and for realizing it.
Yep. There are a whole bunch of 30-year-olds who are living at home playing Xbox and watching porn every night with dinner served and laundry done. Oh, yes. Yeah. There we go. I never stayed with parents. This is Bihleng. Because from creche, I was in boarding school. And from 18, I've been taking care of them. Yeah, Bihleng, you're lifting some heavy weight there. That's hard work. We talked about hard work earlier, but that's really hard work.
Yeah.
All right. That's all we got time for on that subject this morning, I'm afraid, because it is time for us to get to something much more exciting, and that is Collectomania. So Collectomania brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. And we received such great feedback to last week's episode on Pokemon that we decided to do a little follow-up this week. So we can speak to Kyle, who is better known as Kahuna Koala on YouTube. And Kyle got in touch with us after seeing Matthew on the episode. He says, I'm a small up-and-coming YouTuber here in South Africa where all of my content is based on Pokemon cards. I open packs, I do product reviews, I do gameplay and a whole lot more. And we're going to speak to Kyle this morning. Hey, Kyle, how are you doing, man?
All right, yourself.
Good.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, sure. Nice to see you, dude. And you obviously saw the episode with Matthew that we had last week. It's the first time I had learned most of that stuff about Pokemon cards, and it seems fascinating. I mean, it sounds like something that you really can get into. And we speak to people. We speak to people every week on Collectomania who are kind of obsessed with these things. Tell us your story.
I've been playing Pokemon since about 1999. Started in school. Everybody had them. Mm-hmm. Wasn't really coming from the wealthiest family, so I was doing things like washing people's cars and stuff to get money to go buy packs on the weekends.
Right.
And when I got my first job, I took a hiatus from Pokemon around my teenage years just simply due to money. But when I got my first job, I went straight back into it. And I've pretty much been playing competitively ever since 2012, 2013, right up until now.
That's awesome. It's awesome. So you just tell us quickly, you've been involved with it for like almost two decades now, and you love this. What is the gameplay element of the Pokemon cards? Is it almost like those trump cards that you used to get where you would compare the different kind of, you know, if it was cars, for example, you know, the maximum amount of speed that the, I mean, power that the engine had, the cost of the car, the amount of, I'm not even sure what else was on those cards, like the fuel consumption or whatever else it was. And then you'd argue, and if you had a better one, you'd take the other person's card. Is that how it works?
I just love how the previous generation of people always go to those like cards.
Sorry,
like,
that's the airplane all I know.
And the cars.
That's all I know.
No, for sure. But I love it how people jump to that. No, Pokemon's a lot more strategical. I mean, you can compare it to something like chess. You got to always be like three moves ahead, but each person has their own deck of cards, which you potentially spend a heck of a lot of money on.
Right.
And you go against each other at a table, and there's a lot of strategy involved. It's a very strategical game. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the game evolves. New sets come out every 3 months. So the game is continually evolving. So you got to do your research. There's a lot of practice involved. I mean, if I think about it, I do some like coaching on the side for people who are getting into the game. And I just had a coaching session the other day, and I explained to the girl, like, generally speaking, I play before a tournament, I'll play about 1,000 games with the deck.
Wow.
To try and get an idea of how good it is. So it's a big time investment if you're taking it seriously, but it's also a lot of fun. I mean, my daughter plays the game as well. It's the first thing that brought me back into the game, like, properly, is that it's a very much a family game. It incorporates children, girls, boys, husbands, wives. I mean, it's very nice to rock up at an event and there's a mother, father, and two kids all playing together.
That's awesome.
So there is a very fun aspect to the game as well. It doesn't have to be as competitive as some of us take it, but yeah, it definitely can be very, very competitive.
All right, so you are currently ranked, I mean, this I do like it when people are winning, and you are currently ranked third in South Africa in your age division. That's pretty amazing. Yeah. So how does that work? Yeah. Is it all online, and you can see where you fit into the scheme of things and how many games you've won and kind of who you've beaten, and that you go up like in tennis rankings, for example?
So there's events that happen throughout the year, every quarter. I mean, in Cape Town, we're fortunate enough to have a few stores that host these events.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to just put a point in that and say that the events have been suspended since Corona started.
Right.
It will be hopefully coming back this year. But either way, you'd go to these stores, compete in events, and depending on your ranking in that event, you would get something known as championship points.
Okay.
And then your cumulative championship points give you a ranking within South Africa.
And there's big cash money in terms of prize money that's available for the winners. This is what I love too, is that, you know, if you go on things like Twitch and you watch people who play games online, I mean, some of these, the prizes they can win are better than working a 9-to-5 for like 3 or 4 months in a row. You won't earn as much as you do in the prize money for those things. Is it that kind of money? What are we talking about here?
I think in the World Championship specifically, right? You'd have to obviously travel to do it.
Sure.
I think the prize pool for the trading card game is $200,000. I had the stat with me. I think the first place gets, I think it's around $25,000. I think,
wow.
I put it in the email to you guys.
That's a lot of money.
First place in my division gets $25,000 US.
That would be a nice payday.
I would, yeah.
And you spoke about age groups as well, Kyle, and I was wondering how old is the oldest person who plays?
I mean, there's some old, like, even in the local communities. I mean, I think the oldest guy that I know who plays in tournaments is probably in his 50s.
Sure, that's very old.
He definitely looks like he's in his 50s. So, yeah.
But I mean, you know, old people might be good at this if you think about how good they are at solitaire and at playing like poker or whist or something like that, then why the hell wouldn't they learn the strategy of this game
Bridge.
And be able to do it? Yeah,
I mean, like, I can definitely say that playing other strategical games like chess helps you improve your Pokemon game. I mean, I play quite a couple of different trading card games, and sometimes things that I've learned from other games translate into Pokemon and has made me a bit of a Pokemon player. So it's definitely, it translates across anything where you need to think a couple of steps ahead. And I mean, for kids, there's the educational aspect. I mean, some of these cards have got some really big words. So there's reading, there's math, there's analytical thinking, there's social skills because you're sitting at tables with other people. I mean, it's really beneficial for kids to get into. I mean, I've seen a number of autistic kids come and play Pokemon, and they, after a couple months, they really start coming out of their shell. You can see that they start adapting and adjusting, yeah. And it's just, it's rewarding in that sense as well to see those kids like develop.
Well, yeah. They've also done huge amounts of research with children in particular to figure out, you know, when you start explaining game theory to them at an early age and they understand what the conditions for victory are, for example, in a game, and they learn and internalize those, they figure out things in life a whole lot better too, because they apply game theory to everyday life. So, you know, if you're in, you know, commercial enterprise or whatever, and you have to sell X number of goods in order to make your target, those kids who are more goal-oriented and who've learned game theory earlier on end up being more successful adults. It almost goes without saying. And I think that's probably something quite useful that we dismiss too often. We're like, oh, they're playing games. But actually, games are hugely important. Games are also how people figure out other people, because you
and
get
the fact that rules exist.
Well, you get to see what kind of people like to cheat, and you get to see what kind of people follow the rules, and you get to see what kind of people will do anything to win. And it kind of it provides you with a useful amount of intel for going into adulthood and working in the real world.
Definitely does.
Yeah, I think that's about right. Okay, so what's in your collection here? So what have you got? There's a poster behind you, and you've got something framed as well. How big is your actual Pokemon card collection?
I can't actually tell you. It's bigger than I can count.
Oh, wow.
I try and catalog constantly. I mean, I've been playing for such a long time. And during COVID, I went through a thing where obviously people were a little bit strapped for cash. So I was buying people's collections out to try and help them out. And I've just been accumulating more and more. For me, it's a little bit of an investment. Some of the investments are short-term investments, like stuff that I can buy and resell immediately. Some stuff is stuff that I go put in. Like I have a box in my mother's storage unit where I've got a couple of my special ones.
Wow. And those are probably worth some money. I mean, if you just look at what Matthew told us last week about his collection, there's some of those that are quite expensive now. If you tried to sell them online, you could make a pretty penny.
Yeah, I think my most expensive card I own at the moment is just shy of $700.
Wow.
So I think that's edging on like 10K by now. I don't know what the dollar rate is at the moment.
So would you...
Would
you use that card, that $700 one? Would you use that in a game?
No, that's vintage now. So, no. I mean, if you're speaking about gameplay, I mean, so I always have a couple of decks. I think my most expensive deck to build at the moment is probably about 6,000, maybe 7,000 rand, depending. So that's like the most expensive. Of course, you can get competitive for a lot less. You could spend like $2,000 on a deck or $1,500 on a deck, and you could do okay still. So it all depends on you as a player. But Joe, you asked me about the frame behind me. I think I did send you a nice picture about it. So this was a dream of mine, like from a kid. So my favorite Pokemon is Blastoise. You can see it's a big canvas behind me over there, and filled in the picture. So I put that together. It's basically a whole lot of vintage versions of that card and his pre-evolutions, Water Tall and Squirtle.
Okay.
Very proud of it. I know that you asked Matthew last week a question about what would he grab if his house was on fire. I would be grabbing that frame without a doubt. I think I priced it when I put it together, and the frame's total value inside the frame is probably about 12,000 rand. But those are cards that I will never, ever trade. I will never sell. That's just sentimental value is way, way too high. I mean, I've got multiple copies of those cards.
Yeah.
But that particular frame I would probably keep forever.
That's amazing.
And then, yeah.
I'm just checking whether Dorian Simpiwa gave me the pictures. They haven't. So I can't see any of the other stuff. But you've how do you catalog this stuff? You say you try to catalog it.
So I do catalog it. So with Pokemon specifically, there's no like registered platform. I mean, there's apps on phones and computers like Pokelector, where you can catalog your collection. If you are that kind of a collector, if you're collecting from now card 1 to card 50, then you can like mark it as you go along. But for me, I keep all of my cards in sets in a spreadsheet, so that if ever it came down to it where it was cash out time, I would know exactly what my cards were worth and what I would be getting out of my collection.
Okay, so you do keep track, even though you have so many that you can't necessarily file them all and have them all on display or any of that stuff.
Hmm. But I mean, there's cards that I haven't gotten around to keeping track of. I mean, it's considered bulk. So in any of the collecting games, bulk is considered anything that's worth less than a dollar. So mm-hmm. if you were ever to sell, you would just like throw that in as like extra gravy.
Like a sweetener.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. We had Matthew, he actually opened up a pack.
I saw that and I'm well prepared.
Yeah, okay, so, well, let's do this because you do this on your YouTube channel as well. You can go and find Kyle's YouTube channel. Is it under your pseudonym here? So it's under Kahuna Koala.
Yes.
There we
Kahuna
go.
Kahuna Koala. Yeah,
so you can look him up on YouTube and you can see him doing a whole lot of other stuff. So what do we got there? Do it. Let's do this live.
So this is a first. I just want to show. I did keep the cards aside in case you didn't get the pictures. So these are what graded cards look like. I didn't see Matthew bring any of them. So these are graded Blastoises. Like my ring light's messing up. So these are all graded cards. These are in the frame behind me as well.
Okay.
But that's basically what a graded card looks like. So you send it off to the States. They grade it according to its condition. And then, of course, that affects the price value. There's the picture.
Yeah, nice. Got it.
So, yeah. So those are some of my favorite graded cards. And before I open the pack, I just wanted to also mention that some people collect sets from, like I said, one to the last card, right?
Mm-hmm.
Other people, like myself, so I'm just like a specialty collector. So I only collect my favorite Pokemon. So there's three Pokemon that I collect, and I will uptrade to get those cards just to have them.
Right.
And that's just because they're special to me in that way.
Yeah.
Cool. This booster pack, it's a little bit expensive at the moment, actually. So this is what it is. It's a Evolutions booster pack.
Oh, wow.
The set did very well for the nostalgic value because they're basically reprinted cards that look like they were from the base set.
Mm-hmm.
I had a look yesterday. These boosters go for about 300 rand a pack at the moment, where a normal pack goes for about 80 bucks. So, yeah, I'll open this pack. And the most expensive card in the set is just over 1,000 rand. It's a Charizard. And if I put a Charizard in the pack, then I'll sell it and donate the money to a charity of your choice. So,
all right. Well, yeah, I can cool. I don't even know what that is, but I'll take it. Thank you.
you'll take it for face value.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I mean, Carl even says here, can next week's Collector Mania please be in English? What the hell is this guy even talking about? if you're not into Pokemon, yeah, you'll be feeling a little bit like me some of the way through this conversation. All right. So let's do this.
Cool. Let's see. Hopefully, I know like my camera does a little bit of focusing issues, but that's not worth anything. It's a potion.
Okay.
It's a maintenance. Hopefully. Okay. Poliwhirl.
That's also not Onyx. Worth anything.
No, that's a fairy energy.
Yeah.
Voltorb. Tangler. I think we're going to get to a potential expensive section now after this one. Poliwag.
Okay.
It is. Okay, a foil fire energy. That's not too expensive. And the last card is?
Dun-dun-dun.
Oh my word, it's a foil Charizard.
So now you have to donate money.
What is the chance of that?
Right?
So I'll tell you exactly what this card is worth at the moment. It's going to need a phone.
So that's quite
believe this was...
So we've hit the jackpot here. This is good, right?
Carl, you're in a bit of a pickle now because what if this card's worth 4.5 grand?
No, it's not. Look, I just want to tell you, like, I mean, this you'll see over here, there's an open stand here on my shelf. This booster has been sitting on my shelf for months, just a part of my display.
Yeah,
and that's what was in it. Like, this couldn't have been like a better storyline.
That's fantastic. All right, so what do you think it's
Charizard
worth?
Currently at the moment is sitting on, it's about 1,100 rand.
Beautiful.
That is gorgeous. Look at it. I can't that's believe magic. I put this on your channel, man.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. This I think I can get into this where you donate money to worthy causes every time we have you on. I like this.
As always, you put it in a
and nice now every time you look behind you, the pain of, oh my God, I promised to give it to a charity before I actually opened the pack.
No.
This is awesome.
That's all fair game. Look, I'm very much paying it forward. I've been very fortunate in my channel, had a lot of help from people and sponsors and all that nonsense. So this it's only paying it forward. I'm still a bit in shock here, actually. I can't believe it.
So leaving Pokemon aside for a moment, you also collect Magic the Gathering. Now what is that? Because again, this is territory I'm completely and hopelessly unfamiliar with.
Okay, Magic the Gathering is a bit older than Pokemon. So Pokemon came out in 1996, Magic the Gathering 1993. So it's a bit of an older game, a bit of a more mature game. Not so much. Pokemon is the only card game that accommodates for age groups, right? So okay. Kids, teenagers, adults. Magic is just open form. Yeah, so 1993 it came out. There is some serious, serious investment value in Magic. Not just from a playing perspective, but from a collecting perspective. In South Africa, Magic is more of a playing game, but I can tell you that I buy and sell collections like I do with Pokemon.
Right.
I've been making, as of the last 2 years, I've been making a lot more money with Magic. In fact, like almost a second salary every month. Like that's the amount of money we're speaking about. It's a bit hectic. And yeah. I looked up some stuff here. So the most expensive raw Magic card at the moment is Alpha Black Lotus. So Alpha is the first set ever printed in 1993. Mm-hmm. The token card from that set is worth $35,000. If that card is graded, there was an auction last year. A graded autographed version of that card went for $511,000.
My gosh. So, but even just the 32,000 or something that you said,
35,000,
35,000, that's still over R500,000 for that card.
Yeah,
now
it's crazy.
Don't tell me.
I mean, like
we can sit here and ridicule, you know, all we like, people who collect stuff. But let me tell you, if you can invest in something for a couple of rand, and it ends up being worth $35,000, you have done some pretty impressive mathematics and magic there yourself. You've turned a small amount of money into a very large amount of money with some object that's in a collection. I think this is why collectors love what they do so much, not just because they love, you know, gathering a whole set of something or having one of each of something that they love. I mean, you described that very well with the Pokemon cards just now. But the fact is also, you know that it's worthwhile because other people are willing to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
I mean, look, the chance of you ever finding a card like that is like, I don't even know what analogy to use for that. It's like insane.
So you said $500,000 if you get that graded one, right?
Yeah. So autographed, graded, I mean, PSA 10. So that's gem and 511
grand. If you sold that, you could cash out something like 7.5 million rand on one card.
Jeez.
Okay.
That's unreal.
Don't talk to me about Bitcoin and, you know, Ethereum, especially not this week, because that is seriously impressive. For a card, 7.5 million rand. Jeez.
Unreal.
No, it
isn't. I mean, like, the buying and selling of these cards have only done wonders. I mean, another topic that you brought up with Matthew is, like, I think somebody said that you can't have a girlfriend, like, if you're in this game, right? Somebody said that.
Yeah, it was me.
Yes, it was you. And my girlfriend now doesn't say a word. She supports everything that I do because of like what it's brought. Like, I mean, we had a baby last year. Like before the baby arrived, sold a couple cards, bought a new dishwasher, bought a new tumble dryer, bought a new washing machine.
Oh,
like
man.
Just some like quick like turnaround.
That's awesome.
It's nice for like other people, like my family that doesn't know really what it brings to the table when they see it physically. Like they just see cardboard in a shoebox, and then the next minute they see I've got like a new car. Like it's,
you know what, Kyle, congrats on the birth of your kid. And
thank you.
I mean, it's going to be something. This is kind of a legacy. You could pass on some of this stuff to your child. I mean, that's amazing.
Why my older daughter plays with me. I want, like, I'm imparting the knowledge on her. If she doesn't take off with her, so be it. But at least one day, inevitably, when I die, it will go to somebody who knows a little bit about it and not just somebody who's oblivious and will get ripped off the moment I'm gone. So it's just nice for somebody to know a little bit about it.
That's amazing.
Use them as bedding in their hamster cage.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I've seen some wild stuff, like some of the collections I've bought. Like, I've been heartbroken. I wish I had those here. Like, expensive cards like these where people have, like, put sellotape around it to protect it. And at that point, the card's worth nothing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Laminating cards. Cards that have been torn, but then when I get the collection, they've like perfectly sellotaped it back together again. That they can, like, it's wild. Like, it's heartbreaking. Like, you see very expensive cards that are now essentially worth nothing.
Dude, so, Kyle, anywhere that's competitive, the human element becomes interesting. Is as you get to your sort of level, is there like a bit of needle at the top? You know what I mean? Like Manchester United, Liverpool, everyone knows that, you know, Kyle and Michelle don't get along and there's like a tribe behind the other person. Let's get into that because that's what everybody wants to know about.
Okay. Yeah, it does get clicky at the top. You are right.
I'm sure.
We've got our training teams. I mean, like Akil, Curtis, Matthew, if you guys are watching, you know who the best are. But we obviously train in teams to try and get ahead. I mean, you can't, that's what I realized is my game went from like year to year the moment I started realizing you got to practice with other people. You can't just practice by yourself. There are some people who have been very successful by themselves, but I mean, obviously training. And then, of course, there is a little bit of hate between stores, even between provinces. Mm-hmm. So Every quarter with the national distributor, I host an online tournament, which is absolutely free. And there's a whole bunch of prizes that are won. And it always turns out to be like a province feud, you know, like, what gets like dropped every tournament. Like, yeah, a Cape Town player hasn't won yet. So what does that say about Cape Town players? I'm like, it's only because I'm not playing and that I'm hosting the event that Cape Town hasn't won, right? So, I mean, it's all fair game. But, yeah, it does get very cool. I mean, the competitive edge is amazing. And sometimes things escalate in tournaments as well. Like, I am surprised constantly at the level of drama with a kid's card game is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Like, I just, like, sometimes I have to step back and just say, like, you guys do know that this is a kids card game, right? Why are we fighting like this?
It's amazing.
Just calm down, you know?
So Mpihleng says, this has got to be the first collector who has me wanting to jump on the collector train. So you've got through to Mpihleng there. But you know what? This is cool. I love it. I love the fact that, you know, there are still going to be people who think you're insane to be spending money and time on this. And they're going to be people now. Yeah, of course, all collectors are. But they're going to be people who suddenly go, oh my God, I got to get in on this action. This is fun. I love it.
It's the best thing to do, man.
Kyle, we're gonna subscribe to your YouTube channel. That's Kahuna Koala. And thanks very much for sharing your collection with us, dude. It's very good to have you
on. Awesome stuff. I'll be in touch with you guys about the donation. Do you have a charity in choice?
I've got one called Headway that I've supported. We actually brought them up on the show this morning earlier, so I'd love you to do it for them. But 100%. we can discuss on email. Cool.
Pop me a mail.
Thank you so much, dude. Appreciate
it. Thanks for the opportunity.
And thanks for that donation, too. Very nice of you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. There he is. That's Kyle and his collection of Pokemon cards, which is, I mean, part two. Who knew? We would do a part two on this. That's how fascinating these collections
are. Yeah, of all the collections we've had, who knew it would be this was part two?
Amazing, right? I mean, just so cool. Yeah. Lots of people complimenting Kyle. Robert saying, great interview. Yeah, listen, interesting people. I love collectors because I'm one myself. So I see it in other people. I'm like, okay, there's a little bit of that insanity that's going on. But we will have more of these on Collectomania as we advance into the year 2022. If you have a collection or if you have something that you're thinking about collecting, something unusual, maybe you just found, you know, in a box of old stuff, a collection of stuff, you want to tell us about it, particularly if it's weird and it's something we haven't covered before, because I'd love to hear about some of those. You maybe inherited something and you're not even sure what it's worth. You know, maybe we can help you by putting you in touch with the people who can evaluate these things and tell you what it's actually worth, because you could turn it into, you know, shavings at the bottom of the hamster cage, and you might be throwing away lots and lots of money, as Leanne said earlier. And if you want to get hold of us, just contact@cliffcentral.com. That's contact@cliffcentral.com. And we can feature you on the show. Collectomania is brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. You can check them out online at scoinshop.com. That's all we got time for today. And you know, we'll hear from you on the next episode of Collectomania. But we'll be back tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock, bright and early. Have an awesome week. Let's kick some ass this week. Let's get ass kicking. And we will see you tomorrow. Cheers. CliffCentral.com.